preach this morning on the day after Christmas. I got to listening on the radio the other day, and they were talking about how the stores and all would be so busy with people returning things and all this kind of stuff. And I thought about Christmas Day being the day you received the gift. And come in tonight, and Brother Robbie was telling about what he preached at the rescue mission, and it went right along with what I was going to do this morning. He set a big present up on the podium and talked about receiving the free gift. And then, you know, receiving a gift's not enough. There's something you do after you receive it. You got to tear into it and see what all's in there, amen? And so I thought that was pretty neat. We kind of had the same thought process. But tonight, I want to think about the weeks ahead. As far as I know, if by the grace of God, if we make it to Friday night, we've just got 5 days left in 2010. That's hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, this year, I bet you I've heard 15 people in the last few weeks say, I can't believe it's already Christmas time. I can't believe it's almost New Year. This year has come and gone, just seemed like overnight. It seemed like just a few weeks ago we were standing right here on New Year's Eve having a watch night service and all our guys preaching. Amen. Amen. Is it still fresh in your mind? I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's been no time at all. And time, once it's gone, you cannot get it back. You understand that? We've heard people say, and we've probably all made the statement, I'd give anything if I could go back and do that again. You can't. You can't. 2010, we had one shot at it. And that shot's just about up. Amen? It's just about gone. It'll be another year in just a few days. And you know what 2011 will hold for you? Or what it will turn out to be? Pretty much whatever you make it out to be. Amen? In just a few days, some of them are probably already thinking about it. People make what they call New Year's resolutions. They set goals for their life. And I'm for that. I'm for it. I'm more than being for making resolutions, I'm for keeping them. Amen? What fun is setting goals if you can't scratch them off your list? I'm bad to make a to-do list, and I'll write down everything I need to get done. And I love to write things off that list. Got it, got it, got it, got it. Amen? Then when the day's gone, you can look at your list and you can go, wow, I got a lot done today. I accomplished something today. Amen? You're not looking back over your day and thinking, well, I really didn't do nothing today. Or what did I do? Man, you got a record of it right there in your hand. Amen? And nothing wrong with setting goals. Brother Jason and Brother Rusty, two of the biggest nuts in our church, they've been conniving and working up something. They want to start a competition in the church called The Biggest Loser. Y'all seen the TV program, The Biggest Loser? They have a contest, see who can lose the most weight in a set amount of time, and they want to weigh in on Sunday night after church in a Sunday school room somewhere. I told them, I don't care. As long as you do the ladies and the men separate and keep that thing right, amen. I don't care if you want to lose weight. That's a good thing, amen. It is, and that wouldn't be for me. If I start losing weight, I need to see a doctor, amen? But for a lot of people, that would be a good thing. Brother Jason, I think that is a great thing, amen? For Brother Jason. Amen. And so somebody will set a goal and they'll say, it's this January, by February I want to have lost this much, and by March this much, and blah, blah, blah. They say the number one New Year's resolution is to lose weight. Yeah. Amen. They say that's the number one New Year's resolution. How many of you ever made New Year's resolutions? Yeah. That's about pretty much every one of us. Yes, sir. How many of you have successfully obtained your goal or met your goal? Yes, wow, just a few. They said the number two resolution is to quit smoking. Amen. Number two resolution, I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to make it this year. I'm really going to do it this time. Hey, it's just as sure as we make resolutions in our physical life, and they're good to make. Your health is important. Amen. Yes, it's good to make physical resolution. But you know what? It wouldn't hurt us to make some spiritual resolution. Amen. I look back in our church of this past year and I think, man, where have we gone? I know where we started. I was there. I know where the new year started. As a church, where have we gone? Have we gained any momentum? Have we gained any ground? Is the Lord pleased with our progress over the year? And if He's not, we need to do better this next year.
Yes,
amen. Amen. We ought to do better. We ought to do our best to make God pleased with our church and our spiritual lives in 2011.
Amen.
Amen. Let me give you a couple of things tonight that if we're going to if we're going to make a difference in our lives this year, we're going to have to get at it.
Amen.
And it's going to be up to us.
Yes.
You say, well, if the Lord will. No, He will.
Right.
If you want to get closer to God, He'll help you in every way in the world that He can. Amen. He'll give you the right preaching. He'll lead you to the right scripture. If you want to get closer to God and do more for God, I'm already tell you He's willing. Amen. So what we've got to do is get our will lined up with His will, and together we can get something done. Amen? Look at 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. Did I tell y'all 1 Timothy? Okay, 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12. Paul said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He said, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Now listen, number one tonight, if we're going to make spiritual resolutions or goals for our life, we might need to stop and reassess our position.
Yeah.
Amen? Paul said, I know where I'm at.
Yes, sir.
I know where I'm at. If somebody called me on the phone and said, Brother Eddie, can you tell me how to get to Bass Pro Shop? I have to say, well, where are you coming from?
Yes, sir.
To tell you how to get somewhere, you got to know your starting point. You got to know where you're at.
Yes,
amen. Paul said to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith.
Yes, sir.
And that not necessarily just talking about salvation. Examine yourself to see where you are. If we're going to set a goal, okay, by the end of 2011, spiritually, I'd like to be here.
Amen.
Well, where are you now? Are you setting an impossible goal for yourself?
Yeah, that's good.
Amen. If you said, all right, for 2011, by the time the 2011 watch night service comes around, I want to know the Bible like Brother Charles. Don't set an unattainable goal.
Yeah, amen.
You better be a lot further down in your Bible knowledge, amen,
yes, sir,
than you are to set that kind of goal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Why? Because it's took him 50 years to get there.
Yeah.
And you think you're going to do it in one?
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen. Amen? The human brain just ain't that sharp.
Yeah.
Amen. It takes time. So we need to reassess our position and figure out where we are spiritually. Where am I at in my prayer life?
Yes.
Where am I at in my prayer life? How often do I pray?
Amen.
How long do I pray? How sincerely do I pray? Amen. Are you listening tonight? Where are you spiritually? Remember, I preached a message years ago, and this was the title, How Long Does It Take You to Pray 1 Hour?
Yeah.
Amen. Simple answer would be an hour, right? No, not for most people.
Yeah.
Some people hadn't prayed an hour in a year.
Yeah.
Amen. How long does it take you to pray 1 hour? Before we set goals that we're going to just bombard heaven and be a great prayer warrior, we better figure out where we are. What I'm trying to say is you might want to set smaller goals for yourself. Baby steps.
Yeah.
Amen. Baby steps. Somebody come to me one time and said, Preacher, I've never fasted before, but pray for me. I'm going to do a 15-day fast. I said, whoa.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I think that's a little too much. Amen? Because that's not just a physical undertaking. When you talk about fasting, going without food, for a spiritual reason, for a spiritual goal, that's not just a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. And you might better be spiritually ready to go into that thing. You say, well, I've never fasted before, and I believe the Lord wants me to fast for this situation or that situation. Try a day to start with. Amen. Set goals that you think you can really, really meet. And I know with God all things are possible, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But hey, He don't mean for us to be foolish. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, well, where are you in your prayer life? Where are you in your Bible reading?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Somebody said, I felt really bad. I made up my mind I was going to read my Bible through this year, and I hadn't done it. How many of you have ever set that goal? going to read my Bible through in a year. Do you know how many people set that goal and don't make it through it? Are you okay?
Yes, sir.
Listen, if you're a new convert, it's okay. Just keep reading.
Amen.
Just keep reading.
Amen.
It's not how much you read, it's that you read.
Yeah.
Are you listening? Here, why don't you try this goal this year? I'm just gonna commit to read my Bible this year.
Yeah.
My goal is to get a portion of the Word of God every day this year.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen? Would that be all right?
Yes, sir.
Figure out where you are spiritually. Hey, if you're already reading your Bible through once a year, well, that's the way you need to jump the goal up.
Amen?
We ought to always, the Bible said, ever abounding. We need to always be going forward and doing more next year than I did this year. Well, if I read it once this year, I'm going to try to at least read it once and a half through this next year, or maybe twice next year. Amen? I talked to a young boy one day. I forgot where I was. Said he had read his Bible through 7 times that year. That's much Bible reading, ain't it? Amen? That's a lot of Bible reading. I thought, man, you read faster than I do. If I read that thing through 7 times in a year, that'd be all I did. Because there wouldn't be time for nothing else. Amen? And the more you read the Bible, the quicker you read the Bible. Did you know that? The more you read it, the quicker you read it, because you're familiar with the words. You're not trying to sound those things out. Amen? You're familiar with the Word, so you just get better at it and better at it and better at it. So what I'm saying is, if you didn't read it, say you only read half of it this past year, it will make you go. I'm going to read it all this year.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Make a goal, figure out where you are and where you want to be, and see if that thing is attainable by the grace of God. Amen. And make your mind up, I'm going to get there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's reassess our position. Now, what is that position? I'm saved. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed.
Yeah.
I know who I am. I'm a Christian.
Yes.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be the best place to start right there. Let's make sure we're saved first and foremost. Let's make sure we know that if we died, heaven would be our home. Let's get that thing settled for sure.
Yeah.
Amen. And reassess our position. But then let's figure out what the purpose of God is in our life. Amen. I know that I'm saved, but hey, it's like having the present and never open it. I know I'm saved.
Yeah.
But what's inside the box?
Yeah.
Amen. In my case, there'd be some preach inside that box.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. That part for me to do for Him.
Yeah.
There might be some witness inside that box. There might be some, are you listening? There might be some giving inside that box. For you, it might be a bus ministry inside. It may be a Sunday school class. What positionally, where has God put you in the body of Christ?
Yeah.
Are you an arm or a leg?
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? We all have a function.
Amen.
In the body of Christ.
Yeah.
What's your function?
Amen.
Remember the little cartoon, Conjunction Junction? What's your function?
Yeah.
What's your function tonight? Amen. What are you here to do? What did God specifically make you for? Did you know God made you for something?
Amen.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
What is it?
Amen.
Figure it out. Let's reassess our position. Find out what is the purpose of God in our lives. Amen. Where are you? Where are you if you're a preacher? Where are you in your preaching?
Yes.
How many times did you preach this year? How many times did you stand and teach the Bible this year? How many times did you fulfill that position that God put you in?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And I look at myself and I think, boy, here I am, my position at the Happy Valley Baptist Church in the body of Christ. It's kind of a several-fold position, but number one, it's pastor of Happy Valley Baptist Church.
Amen.
And looking back over 2010, I'll be honest with you, I'm not pleased. I'm not asking you for your approval rating. I'm spiritual enough. I can assess myself. Amen?
Amen.
I can examine myself, and I'm not pleased in that position.
Amen.
Amen. There are several areas that goes along with that position, and I can examine each one of those. And I've got to say, hey, here's my list. Here's my to-do list.
Yeah. That's good, preacher. Yes, sir.
Now let's compare that to how I got it done this year. And I can say, I'm weak right here.
Yes, sir.
I'm weak right here. Okay, we did okay right here, I think. Maybe we can improve a little, but I need to improve on this a lot.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Yes,
let's reassess that position, but remember what the purpose of God is for your life. Hey, and then look at the persuasion behind the purpose. What's driving you to do it? What's driving you to do it? If you preach, why do you do it?
Yeah.
Did y'all go to the jail today, Brother Freddie? Didn't get to go today. Hey, Brother Robbie went and stayed at the rescue mission all day long yesterday on Christmas Day. All day long. Said they had over 1,000 in attendance, over 100 saved yesterday. They had services all day long. I thought that's a pretty awesome thing. I don't know if you've ever been to the rescue mission. It's not a desirable place. It's not pretty. It's not fancy by no means. And it don't always smell real good, because it's packed full of homeless people. Amen? But he went down there and spent his Christmas Day. Wow, with his family. Now, what would persuade him to do that? What would cause him to want to do that? What would be the motive behind it? It'd have to be the love of people. It'd have to be a concern for souls, amen? So let's reassess our position, figure out where we are and where we want to be, and then we can get through and check them goals off, amen? I've got some for 2011 I want to check off the list. I got some things I want to do better at. I've got some things I want to start that I ain't even doing at all.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. So figure out where you are. If you're going to go anywhere, you got to figure out where you are to start with. Amen.
Right,
figure out where you are spiritually right now. I don't think any of us could honestly lift our hand in this congregation and say, Pastor, I am exactly where I ought to be spiritually. I don't think any of us could. I know y'all. Amen. I know y'all. And I don't think anybody in no other church could probably honestly say, hey, I know I'm right where I ought to be spiritually. In my area of growth. Have you grew this year in the Lord? If a baby don't grow in a whole year, you're taking it to a doctor.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We should have grew in grace and knowledge. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Did you learn anything this year? God open up any of the Bible to you this year? Amen. Figure out where you are, and then let's figure out where we want to go. And recapture, not only reassess our position, but let's recapture our enthusiasm.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. You know what that means? That means to get excited. What are we getting excited about? The journey.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening? We're here at point A. Okay, I know spiritually where I am. Now I know spiritually where I want to go. Let's get the trip started. Let's load the luggage in the trunk, amen? Let's head toward the airport. Let's head, jump in the car. Let's go. Amen? Y'all get excited when you go somewhere?
Yeah, sir.
Amen? Does the kid sit in the back and go, aren't we there yet? How much further? How much further? How much further? You know what? They're enjoying the journey, but they're excited about the destination.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Nehemiah chapter number 2, right after the book of Ezra. Nehemiah chapter number 2. It's one of these historical, miraculous events in the Bible where they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. I believe they did it in like 52 days, Brother Charles. Is that right? The walls of Jerusalem were destroyed. Nehemiah had a burden. They went back and totally rebuilt. They removed the rubbish. In other words, they hauled off all the junk. Brother Freddie? Demolition, demoed what was left of the walls that had been broken down. Hauled all that away and rebuilt the entire city walls in 52 days. Wow, you know what that took? Somebody excited about what they were doing. Amen?
Amen.
Nehemiah chapter 2, and look at verse number 17. He said, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Listen, what they did was they got excited about doing something. Amen? They got excited about doing something. How long has it been since you've been excited about your Sunday school class? How long has it been since you couldn't sleep on Saturday night because you were so excited about what you had to tell your students in class on Sunday morning? How long has it been since a message burned in your heart so hot that you couldn't hardly stand to sit still till you got to preach that thing?
Amen?
I'm talking about excited. And if I'm not careful, I'll lose the excitement over getting to do what I'm doing. Because I do it so very much.
Yeah.
Amen. I travel an awful lot, probably too much. I've been home for a couple of few weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. It's been good. We'll start back up sometime 1st of January. Go down to South Florida and get to preach. You know, and sometimes when you do something so much, I'm afraid you enjoy the break more than you enjoy the actual doing of what God's called you to do. Does that make sense? I remember the time when somebody called me on the phone and said, would you come preach? Hey, man. I mean, brother, it would fire you up. It would excite you to no end. You preacher boys, how many of you remember the first sermon? Come on, were you excited? Nervous and anxious, huh? Do you still get excited? Do you still get nervous? Do you still get anxious? What we need to do is refire that enthusiasm, get our zeal back about what we're doing for God. Amen? Amen. And get to the place where it's, oh man, I got to go preach. Not that place, but we need to get back to the place, woo, I get to preach in just another 7 hours, another 8 hours, 4 days, 4 hours and 32 minutes, I get to preach again. Amen. We ought to get excited about it. You know why every kid in this room had a hard time going to sleep Friday night?
Yeah, that's good preaching.
You know why? They were excited about something on Saturday morning.
Amen.
Amen. They knew there'd be something extra in the living room, more than they was before they went to bed. Blaze told me, he said, tell everybody I got a go-kart. I told him. Amen. Excited. Are you excited? Are you excited about your bus route? Are you excited about your bus route? You know how excited those bus kids will be when they get here?
Yeah.
Do you know how excited they'll be? When you get them to the church, when you get them to the church here next Sunday morning, we didn't run our buses this morning, but we'll be wide open again next Sunday. You know how excited those boys and girls will be when they step off that bus? Just as excited as you were to come get them.
That's right.
Amen. When they get on the bus, is it, get on, sit down, shut up. Who greets them when they get on the bus?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you listening? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying pick up that excitement level a little
sir.
Bit.
Amen.
Pick up that excitement level when they step up on that bus. Hey, buddy, how are you doing? I'm glad you made it this morning. Come on, let's sing a song. Let's get started. Let's get ready for church this morning. Amen. Get excited again.
Amen.
Amen. Get excited about your Sunday school class.
Yes, sir.
This ain't a message on teaching Sunday school, but don't take 30 minutes of prayer requests before you open your Bible.
Yeah. Amen.
That ain't the prayer room. It's Sunday school.
Yeah. Amen.
We okay? When I taught Sunday school, I got to a place where I just quit taking prayer requests.
Yeah.
Because it'd take the whole class time.
Yeah.
I'd say, okay, let's get started. We got to get the lesson in. Then mm-hmm. 5 minutes, a bell would ring.
Yeah.
Boy, I got quiet on me. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I don't care if you start your Sunday school class with prayer, but get to the book, man. Get excited. Hey, if you're excited about teaching your class, you won't let nothing rob you of your time. Amen. You go say, hey, now, wait a minute. We're here to teach the book, open the Bible. I've got something for you this morning.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
You get excited and you get enthused because of what you've got and the confidence in what you've got.
Amen.
Amen. God done give me something, now I get to give it to you.
Amen.
Amen. We need to reassess our position. We need to recapture our enthusiasm. I don't know what 2011 is going to hold. I honestly don't. Economically, I pray it's better. I don't see much chance for it, but I pray it's better. I hope jobs are created. Amen. I hope people go to work who've been out of work. I hope people that like Brother Freddie and these guys that do construction work, I hope by the end of January they're covered up and they keep plenty of work all year long and they keep tithing to keep the lights on in the church house. Amen.
Amen.
I hope. But man, I'm not going to base my excitement level on what might be coming economically or politically. Amen. I serve a great God. Amen. I serve a great God. You know what Nehemiah was excited about? He was excited about his call. He told him about it. He said, man, I got a letter in my pocket from the king. He said, brother, I'm on a mission from God. I've got something to do. Are you still excited about your call, what it is God asked you to do?
Amen.
You say, well, I'm not called to preach or teach or anything. Well, if you're saved, you're called to be faithful.
Yeah.
Amen. You're called to be a witness. We're all that. Amen.
Amen.
We ought to get excited about it again.
Yes, sir.
Recapture our enthusiasm. You know what you have to do in a marriage? When you've been married for quite a while, you have to do some special things just to rekindle the fire in your marriage. Amen. Amen. It takes effort and it takes work. Amen. Me and Sister Angie, we'll go somewhere romantic and hold hands. Talk mushy, talk to one another. Amen. Amen. You say, oh, I wouldn't do that. Well, you're nuts, man. I like sugar. Hallelujah. Amen. We just celebrated our 27th anniversary. 27 years. And we're still excited about our relationship. Amen. 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 You have to recapture the enthusiasm every now and then. I don't care who you are, in whatever area of your life, your job, your marriage, your relationship with the Lord, every area of your life, you're going to find yourself in a rut from time to time.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. You're going to find yourself going through the motions.
Yes,
excitement's just wore off. Amen. Wonder how many of you excited, fired up, can't wait to get back to work tomorrow. Remember when you got that job?
Yeah.
You was just excited you had one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. I guarantee if you've been out of work for 6 months and you're starting a new job tomorrow, you'd be, come on, preacher, hurry up. I got to go home and get to bed. I got a new job I got to start in the morning.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't care what area of your life you're in. You get in a rut.
Amen. Amen.
I learned something as a teenager tearing up trucks in the woods. When that front tire falls off in a rut, best thing you can do is ride it out. Just ride it out. What are you saying? The rut don't last forever.
Yeah.
Just let that tire hang in there and ride it out.
That's good.
Amen. Is that how we do it, Brother Jason?
Amen.
Just ride that old rut right out. You know what? You'll come out of it sooner or later.
Right.
Amen. You get in a rut. Hey, don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Hey, the worst mistake you can do in a rut is stop. Just quit. Amen. Just put the hammer down and ride her out. It'll get exciting again.
Amen.
If you don't quit in the rut. Just hang in there like a hare in a biscuit. Make up your mind. I'm not enjoying this right now, but I ain't stopping for nobody. Amen. Sometimes we'll find ourselves serving God and coming to church and doing the things we do just out of duty because we're supposed to. Amen. You've taught your Sunday school class just because you're supposed to.
Yes, sir.
I believe our duties in the church sometimes are the only thing that keeps us here.
Yeah.
Y'all listening?
Amen. Yes, sir.
If you didn't have a reason to be here and wasn't somebody counting on you, you wouldn't come.
That's right.
But there was a time when you came, no matter how bad you felt,
yeah.
You were excited.
Yes,
you'd come to church thinking, I wonder what God's going to do today.
Yeah.
Man, it was good last week. I can't wait to see what God's got this week.
Amen.
In other words, if you're in a rut, just stay in there, man. It'll get better after a while. Don't quit.
Amen.
Stay till the excitement comes back.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I had a lady come in my office years ago. And, if I said her name, everybody would know who she was. And she came in my office. She was just tore all to pieces. She said, preacher, I don't know what's the matter. She said, I've been going through this for about a year. She said, I don't feel nothing. She said, people get emotional. They go to altar and pray, and people worship and praise the Lord. She said, I just don't feel a thing. And she said, I know it ain't the Lord. She said, it's got to be me. She said, I'm about to the point that I want to just quit. I said, whatever you do, don't quit. Just hang on. It wasn't a week. During the singing, she cut loose, got to shouting, big old tears running down her face. I said, you feel it now? Amen. I'm saying, just hang on. It'll come back. Don't give up. Amen. Remember what God's called us to do, and let's work at getting excited about it again. Amen. Let's set that goal to be this. I'm coming out of this rut. Amen. I'm getting back on the high ground. Amen. Listen, and then lastly, I'm done. Let's reassess our position, find out where we are. Let's recapture our enthusiasm, but let's reaffirm our commitment. Let's reaffirm our commitment. In Ruth chapter number 1, you don't have to turn there, and I probably can't quote it exactly, but Naomi's daughter-in-laws, Ruth and what was the other one's name? Orpha, that's it. Their husbands has died, and she told them to go back home. She's going back to her country, and Ruth said, I'm going with you. You know what she's doing? She's reaffirming her commitment.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said, where you dwell, I'll dwell.
Yes.
She said, your country will be my country. Your people will be my people. Your kindred will be my kindred. And she said, your God will be my God. She said, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you. I know things are bad, but I'm committed in the bad times just as much as I am in the good times. Amen. We ought to reaffirm our commitments to God.
Amen.
Amen. We do that in our marriages. I don't know how many. Somebody said something. We was at my wife's aunt's yesterday and was talking about wedding food. And they said, yeah, I bet you eat a lot of wedding food, don't you? I said, yep, I'm a wedding food connoisseur. I know all about wedding food. Amen. But, you know, just about as many weddings as I've done the renewing people's vows. You know what that is? People recommitting themselves one to another.
Amen.
Amen. And every now and then, we ought to just stop and recommit ourselves to God. I'm not talking about getting resaved. We don't do that around here. Amen. You're in. You're in. Amen. But sometimes we do need to recommit. Amen. Sometimes, as a pastor, I've been uncommitted. Y'all all right? I know it's members you have, so don't look at me goofy. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we just need to get back to a place and recommit ourselves. Say, God, I've let down my end of the deal on this commitment thing, on what I promised you I'd do and what I said I'd do and what I said I was. God, I'm going to recommit to this thing.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, amen. My wife and I, when we renewed our vows on our 25th, and I believe it was our 25th anniversary, a few years ago, we didn't really get remarried. We were just as married when we got here that night as we was when we left. Amen. We didn't apply for a new marriage license. We were already, we were married when we got here.
Yes.
We just recommitted those promises.
Amen.
What promise? For better, for worse,
amen.
For richer, poor, sickness and health, till death and death alone shall part us. Amen.
Yes, sir.
To love, to honor, and cherish each other in this relation, we recommitted those vows.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I've made quite a few vows to God in my years as being a Christian. Amen. Some of those vows I haven't kept.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we need to recommit.
Yes, sir.
Some of us need to recommit to our duties, what it is God's called us to do.
Yes.
Whether it's Sunday school class, whether it's bus ministry, whatever it is, recommit. Some of us need to recommit to each other. Well, it got quiet.
Yeah.
Some of us need to, I'm going to say it again, some of us need to recommit to each other.
Yes.
You know what the stupidest reason I've ever seen? And I know church. The dumbest reason I've ever seen for leaving a church or quitting church or getting your family out of church is because you can't get along with somebody in it.
Yeah.
Amen.
I bet you a dollar to a donut you don't just love everybody on your job with all your heart.
Amen. Yeah.
But you keep going, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Sometimes we ought to recommit to each other. Just as much as a marriage relationship has times where you need to recommit to one another, so do friendships.
Yeah.
I've got friends I've let down. Amen.
Yeah.
Any relationship, I don't care whether it's with a husband and wife or brothers and sisters in the church or whether it's a relationship with the Lord. They require maintenance and they require work.
Amen.
Amen. Just because you were excited about what God called you to do the first time you done it, don't mean you're just going to be excited the rest of your life. You're going to have to recommit to that thing from time to time. Reassess your position. Figure out where you are. Nobody can tell you that but you. Because you can put your shirt and tie on, tuck your King James Bible under your arm, come to church with a big smile on your face, and as far as we can tell, you're all right. But you know the difference.
Amen.
You know really spiritually where you are. Figure out where we are and then get excited about where we're going. Amen? Get excited about where we're going. My wife and I dreamed about Australia for months because we knew we were going for a year. Brent, I mean, we talked about it. We looked at everything you could find on the internet. I mean, we knew more about Australia than them people did when we got there. Amen? I'm serious, man. We knew all about that place. We were talking about places to go and see and do, and people going, oh, I didn't even know that was here. Man, we do. If it's in Australia, we know about it. Amen. We were excited. We were excited about the destination.
Yeah.
We were excited about where we're going. I don't know how many you had on. How many bus captains I got? Just Terry and Stacy in here tonight? I don't know how many you had on your bus last week, but yours set a goal. I don't know how many you average from week to week. I'd say 60 on the bus. That'd be a good goal. 70? 100? How many will it seat? 80 passengers? Is that what they are? Somewhere now? 55? 66. You can get 80 on there. Hey, man. Set a goal. I'm going to fill my bus up.
Yeah.
God gave me a bus. I'm going to fill it up.
Amen. Yes.
Sister Laurie Powell. She's in heaven. I'll never forget, she came to me one Sunday years ago. And she said, Brother Eddie, we live in that little mill village right there in Rockmar. She said, you care if we bring some of them little kids to church with us? I said, care? Foot? No, help yourself. They had an old Ford van, raggedy old Ford van. That first Sunday she pulled up, they was kids hanging out the tailpipes. I mean, they were everywhere. Seriously, I mean, she had them stacked up in there like cordwood. I said, good night. I said, how'd you get all them kids in that van? She said, I just kept pushing them. I said, would you like a bus? She said, yes, sir. I give her that bus, Brother Charles. It come in the next Sunday about as full as that van was. You know what that took? That took commitment, and it took excitement.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It took excitement. Listen, if you're going anywhere spiritually, if you're going to move forward in it all, it's going to take work. And our bodies, our flesh, don't like work. Amen. Human nature is laziness. Did you know that? Amen. Been a good day to prove it, hadn't it? Amen.
Human nature is laziness. The only thing that'll cause you to get up off the couch and go is excitement about getting somewhere and doing something. Amen. Amen. And then let's reaffirm our commitment. Say, I'm going to commit myself to this thing afresh and new, whatever it is. Amen. Let's stand our feet all over the house.